Business AM.
Radio Special Cybersecurity.
Welkom hier bij Business AM. Ik ben Sophie Sonck en deze radiospecial staat in het teken van cybersecurity. De vele facetten ervan, de innovaties, de gevaren van nieuwe technologieën, de ethische kwesties. Ik heb een gesprek over cybersecurity met Notis Iliopoulos en hij is Chief Cybersecurity Business in Benelux voor Entity Data, Europa en Latijns-Amerika. Ik praat met hem in het Engels. Welkom, Mr. Iliopoulos.
Thank you so very much. Nice to be here with you and ready to have a fruitful discussion.
Okay. Business around the world are digitizing, I assume also in Greece. Like in the rest of Europe, is our information safe at the moment? Or is there a need to level up the world's existing cybersecurity technology as it is today?
Okay, this is a nice question to begin with. This is the question that every CEO comes up to their chief security officer. Are we secure? Is the world secure? No, of course we are not secure and we will never be secure because as much technology we put there, as much processes, as many professionals like myself and other colleagues, there are always some people that they're going to dig deeper on that and try to find out whatever it takes to gain some monetary gain there. Mm-hmm. But in your question, if we need to level up, my answer is simple. Let's go back to the basics and do them with effectiveness. This is what we lack at the moment, effectiveness in all levels. As a professionals, as countries, as a regulatory compliance, our technology implementation.
Mm-hmm. Your own company helps companies to secure, govern and exchange information on a global scale. Is Entity ready for battle? And by that I mean to protect companies from cyber information being hacked or misused. Or is it in today's world too much water under the bridge?
There is a lot of water under the bridge, but that's why we're here. Otherwise, companies, huge corporations like Entity Data wouldn't be here. That's why we have almost 1,000 professionals within information digital security era, just to make sure that, first of all, we will be one step ahead of the nice guys that are out there, that we will have competent people, resources, and we will be as close as possible with our clients. We're not of the companies that they like, you know, to develop a bunch, tons of documents and throw it out to our clients. We want to work together with our clients because each corporation, each company, it's so much different than the other one.
Mm-hmm. Could I describe the data and information protection efforts from cybersecurity firms as a drop on a hot plate? The internet for now is the Wild West, I think, where anything or anyone can get hacked and attacked.
Of course, this is absolutely true, especially with the digitization or digitalization, it makes it worse. But as I said before, first of all, we need to be aware of that. And I think that most of us, we are aware, at least we talk about that a lot. We are not as effective as we should be because we still think either we are, you know, a person that works with on the internet trying to surf there to find out information, or we are working as part of our daily job in our company. Still, we are not aware about the true danger of someone manipulates our data. And I'm not talking about only our personal data. I'm talking about the data of the companies that we are working for.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that real threat that certain cyber attack technologies impose?
Okay, I wouldn't say that it's because of a certain technologies, certain cyber attack related technologies. In our days, technology in general is weaponized. So technology is used as a means to gain unauthorized access to data, to digital infrastructures, is used to also automate attacks. And it is used to also mislead and misinform people. So it's the way you use technology. It's not a particular technology for cyber attacks. Yes, of course, there are some tools that they automate attacks. But, you know, these tools alone, it's just a tool. So it's the human brain that makes them dangerous. It's like artificial intelligence is an I think. But the way we use it, it might be a good thing or a bad thing for humanity. Same with all these technologies that they are around in cybersecurity space.
Mm-hmm. And how serious is this threat? Should we panic already that in a few years' time, secure nuclear codes will be available for criminals or autocratic leaders to use?
They might be already available to them. The point here is, what is it that we are doing? How much we use processes and technology effective, and also how much of these regulatory frameworks are actually implemented and audited. Because, you know, we are in a situation, we are in an era that we almost have everything. We have solutions, we have professionals, we have chief information security officer, we have the regulation in place. But who is actually assessing or audits if all of that is followed? This is what is missing. But I think that with a lot of efforts of everywhere in the world, because everybody has understand the hard way how much we need effectiveness in information security, we are getting there. We are not there, but the science is that we are going there rapidly.
Mm-hmm. And who has the current lead in cybersecurity, according to you? Which country or even which company has the safest solution?
I mean, there is no answer to that. There is no answer to that. There are many countries that regularly wise, they are upfront, but you can never check on the effectiveness. Again, if you check with regards to the attacks, yes, some countries you can see attacks guide them for them, or they are the recipients of attacks. And this always changes because of the political crisis, of the political situation. So we cannot say that, you know, this country is number one in security, or the other country is number one in security, or a company. In information security, or in digital security, in cyber security, we cannot talk about number ones. You cannot talk about winners. We are winners every day that an attack is not happening.
Mm-hmm. Does it exist, a 200% hack-proof solution for the internet era?
I would be happy if a 60% safe solution were out there. Okay, I'm joking. There is progress on that, because as we know, there is no a mandate for a solution to be 100% secure or to be secure, because the solution provider is going to pay a fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this changes, and you see the adoption, of course, in the European Union, but in other continents as well, that they are established metrics, they are established controls, so that the products will be at least, they will have a baseline of security already implemented before they go on the corporations and the companies.
Okay. Could you elaborate on the services that your company renders with regard to cybersecurity?
Of course. As I said before, we like to be hand-to-hand with our clients. So what we do is that we have services that follows the whole process of what information security and cybersecurity is, because the whole process. So we start by assessing the risks of our clients with any kind of assessment exercises, might be technical one, might be a regulatory one, might be compliant one. And then we help them to implement the information protection level that they need. And how we do that? We drive them through some policies, guidelines, procedures. And in order to enforce them, we also propose and implement the solutions that they have in place. But apart from that, we help them to continuous monitoring the threat level that they are having. So we are pretty much into what we are called active threat management. So we not just monitoring the organizations 24/7, but at the same time, we continue assess the risks so mm-hmm. that we're making sure that all the controls or the majority of the security controls are working in an effective way. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, of course, we are pretty much into all the trends of digitalization, operational technology, IoT. So we have to be there. We are there and we assess the risks and mm-hmm. we consult our clients about that. And last, something that should always be the number one is that we're taking care of the true awareness of people that working with data, basically all of us.
We gaan er heel even uit en we zijn zo terug met Notis Iliopoulos met meer over cybersecurity.
Business AM. Radio Special Cybersecurity.
We zijn er terug met Notis Iliopoulos, Chief Cybersecurity Business van NTT Data. En we hebben het nog altijd over cybersecurity, meer bepaald over de nood aan doorgedreven informatiebeveiliging van bedrijven aan de vooravond van verregaande globale digitalisering. In your articles, you often refer to your theory about the convergence of security. Can you explain what a benefit could be for companies to implement that kind of idea or concept?
Of course. This is a concept that it's very urgent, I think, at the moment, because what it tries to do there is to bring all the disciplines of security under one governance and control umbrella. So we're going to have a holistic view of security within an organization, no matter from where these security risks are coming from. They are digital security, they are physical security. As you know, the malicious users are using hybrid ways of attacking the organization. And the red lines between what is physical security, what is digital security, especially now with the operational technology and the controls, the automation fault controls, is thin. So in order to have efficiency, effectiveness, and economies of scales, and a holistic view of security, we need to bring all these security disciplines mm-hmm. under one governance body within the organization.
Mm-hmm. But the convergence of physical and digital security, isn't that too obvious? It seems so simple.
It was not obvious a few years back because physical security world had his own protocols and I can say that it was difficult to hack on them. But, you know, as time goes by, technology uses unified way of communication protocols. So physical security controls, number one, control a lot of activities that and automate a lot of physical activities that was not there before. And second and most important, they use technology that already used in servers, application in the digital world. That means that they suffer from the same kind of vulnerabilities. And of course, the most important is that malicious users will always try to find ways to weaponize both physical and digital security.
Mm-hmm. You have been warning for years that urgent change is needed for any organization to survive in an emerging information security ecosystem. Standard security measures are no longer sufficient. Is there a new need? You discuss in your articles a real evolution from information and cybersecurity to information resilience. What is that about?
This is about how information security will always should be. I'm started dealing with what we call information security 26 years back. And still the same principles apply. But it seems that we forgot them through time. And we went pretty much most of the time dealing with technology rather than take a step back and have this holistic view of information security. This is what I call resilient, which is how to protect information everywhere that information resides. Even if that information is outside your organization, you have somehow to apply some measures. And you have to do that holistically. There is nothing something, okay, we have outsourced that, mm-hmm. it's not a risk for us anymore. Mm-hmm. We are secure enough. No, we will never secure enough. So we have to follow the information life cycle and be ready to included in every step of that.
Mm-hmm. You talk about holistic, holistic as in fear no evil, everything will be okay, our flow of energy will save us. How should I interpret holistic in this context, given that companies realize that their data can't be protected? There is no 100% proof, correct?
Correct, and it will never be 100% security. I mean, this is the one of the core theories and method and in security, in any discipline of security. But if we have a way to holistically assess and manage the risk of security, then we go there as much as possible. We go to the not 100, we go to the effective cybersecurity as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So holistic means no matter where the information is, I have to be there to assess the risks of using that information or using that digital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Another term of you is information resilience. Is that a new concept? Can you elaborate on that?
It's not a new concept. Information resilience is just making sure that the controls that I'm using for security, for information security, even if they are under attack, there is a robustness there. There is a level of robustness and recovery there. So basically, in one of my articles, what I was talking about is that there is the need to go a little bit deeper on the process of information security within an organization. So instead of having just this one process of information security, let's have them two. One process, the inner cycle, as I call it, for governance, for compliance, for assessing the risks in a continuous basis. And at the same time, we have the outer cycle that is, again, a continuous process of monitoring and responding to events. And when I'm saying responding to events, an incident for information security, an event might be a big change to an organization that affects the way we operate, that also might, has as an outcome some more risks to our everyday way of dealing with information.
Mm-hmm. In the next 3 to 5 years, innovation will take advantage of the technological developments as never before. How will this impact the fight against cyber attacks?
I believe that technology in general is weaponized. So as much as you use technology, as technology innovates and becomes part of our everyday life, there would be people that they will try to weaponize that in order to get access to data, to digital infrastructure, to spread information that are fake news or stuff like that. So this will not change. Mm-hmm. This is here to stay. We have technology everywhere. We have data everywhere. So always there will be someone that will go after our data, the information and the digital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe the characteristics of a resilient and sustainable organization which is able to absorb and adapt to change?
Of course, and this is much larger than information security or information security resilience. Information security is part of that. So a resilient organization is an organization that can encompass crisis management and business continuity and response to any type of risks that an organization have to face. For example, to understand the customer needs, to have operational processes to ensure quality of control of products, supply chain, operational processes, as I said, evaluation and analysis of the information that they gather in order to have their strategy out there. So resilience in an organization is to be ready for any kind of change and be there to be able to survive for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm. The way you describe it, it seems like enterprise resilience could disrupt the normal operation of any organization. How do you see this?
I would say not really. It's just another building block that have to be considered when we align business with strategy. It doesn't change the way the business operates. It changes a little bit the mindset. It takes a holistic approach to risk management silos and it tries to minimize downtime by embedding resiliency and workarounds into everything an organization do. And actually, this is a term that is used by BSI. So when we're talking about operational resilience, we're talking about continuity, crisis management, financial health of a company, ICT continuity, risk management, supply chains, is a lot of things where information security or security in general is part of each one of these disciplines.
Are you a hack buster, a troubleshooter expert, or a philosopher?
If you want to deal with information security, you have to be a little bit of everything. Okay, philosophy, it's a good thing. As Greek, I should say that it's number one. But when it comes to information security, we need effectiveness. So we have to be ahead. And at the same time, we have to be ready to understand innovation. Because within innovation and the adoption of innovation, there are some pitfalls. So we have to think a little bit philosophic as well.
Ga niet weg, we zijn zo terug met Notis Iliopoulos, Chief Cybersecurity Business van NTT Data.
Business AM. Radio Special Cybersecurity.
Welkom opnieuw. U kijkt of luistert nog steeds naar Business AM, naar deze special over cybersecurity en wel met Notis Iliopoulos, internationaal expert over cybersecurity. What are the common pitfalls for any company? I can imagine that organizations often experience a few common information protection pitfalls.
Okay, this is a very nice and interesting question. First of all, most of the organizations, they believe that they are secure. And this is a big obstacle in order for the security officer to achieve something more effective. Another pitfall is the vast use of solutions. Solutions for technology, cybersecurity technology, has the biggest, the larger portion of the security budget. And the problem is not that we need solutions. The thing is that solution is part of the problem. So solution should be only one small building block of a problem and not a problem solver. Another pitfall is that chief information security officer, although they are there, it isn't their job description, they're not really involved in business decision, which makes risks more than they are. I would also say no true awareness is there with regards to the user. It's just awareness for ticking the box or because it is needed for compliance reasons. And last but not least, we are not have thorough risk assessment. We just do some penetration test and we think that we are secure.
A large number of organizations rely only on technical vulnerability assessments and penetration tests as a source to identify risks related to the protection of critical information. This is not enough.
Of course, this is not enough. Penetration testing and vulnerability assessment, there are some nice tools that they require a lot of expertise to be delivered in a good way, and that expertise is out there. But we have to do our homework before we call the penetration testers in. What I mean is, if we already know that we suffer from several vulnerabilities, we don't need the penetration tester to test us. So we just need to make sure that we have the basic controls in place and then to call someone to see how secure we have implemented them. Same with vulnerability assessment. A lot of companies, they are doing vulnerability assessments and then they end up with reports that they have to patch their systems, that they have to do this and that to their systems. What they do is that they continue try to patch everything to fix everything, which is impossible. So even there, we need a risk-based approach to what is going to cause the bigger risk to the organization and not how much of this big list I'm trying, you know, to tick the box that I did it because I cannot do it all.
When a company is under attack, I can imagine that there is a lot of stress involved. How do you handle clients that are panicking while they are losing their data?
Okay, the first thing that we do is to make them stop panicking. Because if you start panicking, you are not going to follow your protocols, your incident response procedure. And even if I'm here to help you, you might also do a mistake and not call me the right time, or you will not react as you have to react at the very first moment. You know, at the very first moment, we are panicking and we forgot to cut all the communication with the attacker. Let's say this is the first thing to do, and then to call for help. Or if you're going to do it by yourself, at the same time that you try to block the attacker and assess the damage, you also have to make sure that you will not destroy any kind of evidence that you might use later on. So all of that, it needs a structured approach, it needs process, it needs technology, but also need to be tested in a simulation at least twice per year.
Mm-hmm. You also have a theory on what you call shared economy. Could you explain the vision behind that concept?
Yes, shared economy is where a company tries to be in the market as early as possible with new services, but because, let's say, they want to do it fast and before the competitor, they collaborate with some other companies. When it comes to information security, that means that we open our network to other people to collaborate with. We share information, so all of that has to be secure. Just imagine the example of an airline company where I book my ticket and at the same time I have an advertisement that says, oh, you can book a hotel, we can book a car. So automatically I'm transferred to the website of another company. That means that these websites are somehow exchange information, my information, my company's information.
The security risks to which business resources like people, information, assets are exposed are widening. This may lead to incidents of loss of intellectual property, unauthorized access and modification of critical information, or loss of revenue. How to manage this in the next 10 years? A lot might change in a decade. Can this fight ever be won?
This fight can be won, but also can also, let's say, minimize what we will be losing. So I will go back to the basics of information security, and I will start by, okay, hey, I'm a company XYZ. What is important for me in terms of processes? What is it that I'm doing? How technology supports that? How information supports that? Let me try at the first place to secure as much as possible all of that. Having done that, then I can talk about certifications. I can talk about many other things. But let's start with whatever brings me money, whatever makes me exist in this corporate world, in this business world.
You refer sometimes to the violation of the video surveillance systems. Is that a department within companies that is overlooked when it comes to protecting the company against cyber attacks? If so, how come?
It used to be not adequately protected, and we can see some attacks not only in the States where we have evidence that that happened, but even in Europe, that malicious users or attackers, they are using this network of cameras, of surveillance systems, in order to hack into the data network of the company. So because this kind of technology now is using technology as it is used in any other application and system that we have used to use in the digital world, they suffer from the same vulnerabilities. So they have to treat it security-wise the same way. They should follow the same rules with regards to information security. This is not happening a lot, and it is time to change.
There must be certain ways to neutralize the security controls of digital systems by exploiting vulnerabilities related to physical security and asset protection. That's an easy question for you. Could you draw a situation? Is this like in Hollywood films?
It's not in Hollywood films, and it's not Mission Impossible. It's Mission Possible in our days. An easy example would be everybody knows that. I mean, just to have a USB stick with some kind of virus there and drop them to a parking lot of a company. Someone will pick it up and will try to find out what's going on there. I mean, what it is in there, and I might have a virus. Or there is what we also seen a lot, that people, they try to overcome physical security, physical entrance controls by persuading the guard that is somebody else, so they can come into the organization, plug a laptop, and start digging around to information. So this is a combination of different aspects of a security attack that lead the malicious actor to the same outcome. I want to have something that is very valuable from your corporation. Either it is data or some tangible asset.
Mm-hmm. Potential intruders prefer to carry out a hybrid or a mixed type of attack. Can you give an example?
Yes. If we go back to the theory, what a hybrid attack is that I'm trying to have a lot of weapons targeting different aspects of the same organization. So this is what attackers are doing with the hybrid security attacks. I'm attacking a lot of entry point digital systems, surveillance systems, which at the end of the day they're digital systems. So I'm orchestrating an attack by making sure that I will enter either physically or through the digital world in an orchestrated way.
We zijn nog lang niet uitgepraat en we zijn zo terug met deel 4 van het gesprek met Notis Iliopoulos, Chief Cybersecurity Business bij Entity Data.
Business AM. Radio Special Cybersecurity.
Welkom terug hier bij Business AM en we zijn toe aan het laatste deel van de special over cybersecurity en meer bepaald over de weg vooruit en de aanpak van cybersecurity de komende jaren. We doen dit met Notis Iliopoulos, internationaal expert over cybersecurity. Mr. Iliopoulos, to quote you, if I may, you say, "The awareness has been raised, but we still lack effectiveness." What do you mean by that?
Thank you for that interesting question. What I mean is that everybody is talking about information security, cyber security, any facet of digital security. But do we actually do a lot? To my understanding and what I have seen through my 26 years of career, no, we still lack effectiveness in the very basic principles of information security, like having a holistic approach for risk management when it comes to security, like having the right policies in place, but also assess if we follow them. So we say a lot. Even C-level says a lot about information security, about the need of information security, but I think that we have the misconception that we are more secure than what we really are.
Mm-hmm. There must be several important challenges that need to be considered, according to you. Are there enough standard protocols in use?
I wouldn't say that there are standard protocols in use. There are some best practices. There are some standards, but all of them, we can use them as the minimum requirements of whatever this standard is about, for IT security, for information security management systems, for business continuity. The actual implementation of that, it varies. It can be just a set of policies that we tick the box and we say, yes, we have this, but do we follow this? Is that policy reviewed? Is that methodology that we are using in place reviewed and tested? Is the technology that we are using very oftenly assessed against effectiveness and robustness? So, yes, there are best practices, there are protocols, and at the end of the day, the true challenge there is to have them test them, that they work or they support the security of our organization the way we need it.
Mm-hmm. And what are the threats that CEOs are most worried about?
Okay, intellectual property when it comes to information security, the intellectual property and availability of operation services is the number one. And I think a threat that due to the pandemic has been very high is the supply chain risk when it comes to security. Because think of that, supply chain is any cloud provider that provide us with services. And now most of the companies are transitioning the business, they move to the cloud. So this is a huge third party. Are we taking the right measures there? Do we check the security status of the people of the companies we collaborate with? Do we check the security even of the companies that they are, let's say, not the most important subcontractors of ours? Mm-hmm. So this is a big discussion around that. And I think that CEOs have already understood that, together with the true awareness of their colleagues within the company on how they use the data of the company in the everyday working environment. Mm.
Could you give a top three of the most current breaches in 2023? How bad are they?
Okay. Instead of talking about names, I can give you patterns of attacks, which are actual attacks,
of
not
course.
Something that we saw in the movies. We can see that cloud service providers are attacked. And because if an attacker does that, it has access to all of the clients of the cloud provider. Software development companies, again, they try to put some backdoors in the software. And last but not least, we can see that still they try to inject a lot of ransomware, or I call it any kind of malicious software, to the email servers, to the emails of all of us, the end users. So I would say these are the three. I can summarize all the breaches in these three categories.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the protection of data in the next 5 years? Will it evolve as quickly as the malware of the attackers? Or is this an uneven fight?
It can never be an uneven fight, because we have very smart people that they are on the other side of the fence. They are the attackers. But we also on our side have some smart people that we try not only to predict, but to make the clients, the organizations as robust as possible. Because you're going to face an attack or an attempt of an attack. The point here is how ready you are to, first of all, identify the attack, because we have examples that somebody is in your network and you discover that 2 months later. Okay, first we have to work on that. And then we have to work how we will make the damage as less as possible. So it's a fight, but it's not a fight that we're losing.
You said that ineffectiveness relates to the wrong perception about the fundamentals of information security. What do you mean by ineffectiveness?
Ineffectiveness, I mean what we discussed a little bit earlier in one of your previous questions. I mean how information security is implemented in the corporate environment. I can give you an example of ineffectiveness. I'm using a lot of solutions that some vendors of ours told me that they can build for me a zero trust architecture. This is a buzzword that is widely used the last 2 years. What do we mean by zero trust architecture? I mean, information security is about zero trust. I don't trust you unless you identify yourself, I authenticate you, and to give you the access that is relevant to your role profile, to your job. So this is a concept this is not a specific architecture. I cannot go there only by using a few solutions. I need a process in place. I need the mindset in place. And then I need the technology that will materialize that. So we have so many examples of misconceptions of information security that gradually lead to ineffective information security. Mm-hmm. And the largest one, if I may comment again, is about the role of the chief information security officer. The chief information security officer is a very useful tool for an organization, but he cannot do everything. He is the orchestrator of all the aspects of information security within an organization. So the way this tool is going to be utilized within the organization can level up or level down the information security of an organization.
May I ask how hard it is to trace back where the attack came from?
It is hard. This is the hardest part of that. That's why when we are dealing with tracing back an attack or identify what actually happened, we use particular process and technology, and people that they are dealing with that, they only do that. It's what we call digital forensics. So it is hard. There are methodologies, but what I recommend is if we want to really trace back, we have to call the expert as soon as the attack happens. We don't have to lose time, because there are such smart people that they are attacking us, right? And the first thing that they do is that they try to cover their movement there within the organization. So as soon as we have a sign of attack, first of all, internally, we have to start the process that we already have. And if we don't have any process, then we have to call the expert. It's not mission impossible, but it's not sure if I collect the right evidence to even present it to the court. This is a question mark there, and it has to do with how fast the right people have been involved in that process.
Government websites in more than half of Germany's federal states were hit by cyber attacks. These include official government sites and website of the police and the Interior Ministry. These were inaccessible for a time. Their justice system has indications that pro-Russian hackers are behind the cyber attacks. Is this worrying you, the Russian hackers, or do you fear that China is the most powerful of all cyber bullies?
Any country in the level of those countries that you mentioned and other countries, they can do very effective, they can undertake very effective cyber attacks. Okay, but most of the times, we don't know if there is a country behind that. The countries are hidden, there are covered behind some organizations in the dark web, and you can never know if it is a country because this is a speculation that it comes from those countries. But you know, in theory and in practice, there are countries that they are way ahead in what we call warfare espionage. So yes, it worries me, but I know it's there and it's never going to go away because this is part of the global diplomacy.
Okay, another case. Recently, there was a global operation against cybercrime. More than 100 people were arrested in 13 countries. Why now? Isn't this too late? I mean, the tactic of better to prevent than cure to address the problem should have been employed years ago, right?
Of course, but I go back to one of my previous answers that had to do with corporations. Why a country is different than a company in that particular aspect? Okay, we used to talk a lot and do less. So I think now that everybody has understood how technology can be weaponized, they also make sure that they have the right capabilities in place. So it's a matter of capabilities. Now the capabilities are there. So yes, we can at least identify what's going on and try to recover.
Mm-hmm. Will we all be safe by 2040? When the whole world will be digitized and at one point laws and protocols about the ethics of the internet will finally have to be in place. How do you see this from a company point of view?
I'm sure that we will be safe because there is an evolution there of technology, but there is also an evolution when it comes to how to protect us against the weaponization of technology. Apart from what we as security professionals are doing by enhancing our capabilities, our knowledge, there are also some standards out there that they make sure that the default configuration of these solutions will have, let's say, a baseline of security that if you don't comply with that, you cannot have your solution out there. We are not there yet, of course, but we can see that the steps are done in a very fast. So I'm sure that we're going to be there worldwide way before 2040.
Cross fingers for a waterproof protection system against data hacking. Thank you very much for having had this conversation with me, Mr. Notis Iliopoulos, Chief Cybersecurity Business Benelux for NTT Data, Europa and Latin America. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure is all mine. And thank you for the very accurate and effective questions.
Business AM. Radio Special Cybersecurity.